This coming Thursday, May 9th, is the 27th National March for Life in our nation's capital, Ottawa. It is the largest annual protest that takes place in front of our Parliament buildings here in Canada. It takes place in May to mark the day in 1969 when a federal bill was passed that decriminalized abortion but allowed it under certain circumstances. In 1988, however, the Supreme Court of Canada struck down Canada's abortion law as unconstitutional. Since then, there has been no abortion law in Canada, allowing the procedure to take place for free across the country throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. The march in Ottawa began in 1998 and is now surrounded by events throughout the week, including a candlelight vigil, the Rose Dinner, a Mass for Life at Ottawa's Cathedral, a youth summit, and of course, the rally and march on May 9th. Canada is a country where abortion and euthanasia are legal and quite common. This is a country where it is accepted that the most vulnerable are commonly abandoned. It is because of this that this year's theme is taken from the prophet Isaiah, "I will never forget you." This is a call for all of us to be witnesses to the dignity of each human person. On May 9th this year, let's join thousands of Canadians in Ottawa and remind our politicians to never forget the child in the womb, the mother of an unexpected pregnancy, the person living with a disability or mental illness, the senior who needs care. Let's remember our responsibilities towards each other and the irreplaceability of each individual soul created intentionally by God in His image and likeness, a God who never forgets us. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is the Salt and Light Hour. Hello, and welcome to an all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me, all the way from sunny Los Angeles, is Mark Matthews.
Hello, Deacon. Always welcome. A pleasure to be here.
Welcome. Is it sunny in Los Angeles?
It is. Yeah. In a special kind of way. It's feeling very much like summer here, finally.
Oh, good, because it's not here. It's just raining. Well, April rains. It rains in April, and May, hopefully, we'll have flowers, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, April showers, May flowers.
Yeah,
all that
of course,
good stuff.
Of course, all that good stuff. Next week is the March for Life
in Ottawa. Yes.
Yeah, I presume that you've been there a few times with
not for the one in Ottawa. I mean, I've been to various marches for life, but actually, no, sorry, I have been there a long time ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I wondered when you were with CCO. No, would you not have?
Yeah, that's exactly when I was there.
Yeah, so always exciting for us to. Which is good that it's not the one in Washington. To go to Washington in January when it's usually like 20 below, and I think this year they had like a blizzard, and still like 200,000 people show up.
I grew up in Canada. I have never been as cold as I have in my life as being in Washington on a chilly day. It is cold.
Yeah,
okay, there. Something about the humidity. It's the chill of the politician's souls.
The chill. Okay, so here is going to be you just made me think of something. We should encourage Americans to come to Ottawa for the March for Life because it won't be freezing. Although
it is true,
although it is Ottawa and it could snow in May, I suppose. But yeah. So the March for Life is on May 9th. There's events the whole week, but the march is on.
Come
May
on,
9th.
Americans, come and help Thursday. Your neighbors to the north.
Yes, yes, because everything that you do there affects us here, and I guess what we do here could have impact down there as well.
And as a dual citizen, I feel like I have the legitimacy to say to both of you. You know, Americans come to Canada.
Americans come to Canada. March for Life. That's it. You're going to be the new undercover
spokesperson for
get Americans to come to the March for Life in Canada, the National March for Life in Canada. Okay. So, Mark, today we're going to be joined by Marie-Claude Lalonde. She's the National Director for Aid to the Church in Need for Canada. And, they come once a month to do a little segment featuring the work of Aid to the Church in Need around the world, doing a lot of humanitarian relief around the world, and particularly through the churches and partners. And today she's going to talk to us about Sudan. Did you know that there's a conflict in Sudan?
I did. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, but you might be thinking, I bet you that you're thinking like me, that it's like the conflict in Sudan that was like 5 years ago.
Okay, I probably because there's am.
Yeah, no, this is a new conflict as of last year.
Seriously.
And it's really kind of gang wars about who controls the gold mines.
Because
Sudan has a lot of gold mining. But in just the last year, almost 14,000 people have been killed, civilians, on the fighting. Yeah, and a lot of people have been displaced. So Marie-Claude Lalonde from Aid to the Church in Need is going to tell us about the work that Aid to the Church in Need is doing in that country and in that region, actually, because it affects the whole region. So that's Where God Helps in about 5 minutes. And then, Mark, you're going to be back with us to tell us something good that's happening somewhere.
Maybe not in Hollywood this time, but what is good in Europe? Because I just returned from a five-week trip to Europe.
Yeah. Right. 5 weeks. Wow.
I know. Huge blessing.
Must be nice being an undercover missionary.
I was in deep cover.
Deep cover. Okay. So in about 15 minutes, what's good in Europe with Mark Matthews, our undercover Europe missionary?
European missionary? Europe, why not? We still need them.
Yeah, we need to do some undercover missions everywhere. So that's in about 15 minutes to tell us what's good in Europe. and then we're going to learn in our second half hour, Mark, we're going to learn about a new pro-life video series that's aimed at Gen Zers. I don't know how, if you're good with like Gen Zs, I don't know.
I just know they're the youngest.
No, I think that there's a younger, I think Gen Zers are like, 15 or 16 to 26 year olds, or 12 to 28, like that age group.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no letter comes after Z. So how can there be an even younger
I don't
group?
Know. I think we're going
to loop back
maybe
go back to Gen A?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to figure this out. But anyway, this is that age group I'm going to say 16 to 26 year olds. This pro-life video series is called Forbidden Discussions. Forbidden Discussions. And it's produced by the Healing the Culture Institute. They have what they call Respect Life University that offers these pro-life video resources. And so the president and CEO of Healing the Culture, Camille Pauly, will be joining us to tell us all about Respect for Life University and also about this new video series, Forbidden Discussions. So that's going to be in about 25 minutes. Yeah, they do really good work. And then at the end of the program, we're going to be reconnecting with Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc, Canadian husband and wife duo. They call themselves Found Together. And in fact, they're probably going to be at the March for Life because they sometimes help out with the music, especially at the vigil for the March for Life. We met them in October 2021 and they have new music and they have new babies.
Awesome.
And so it's time to have them back on the show. So we're going to be speaking with Found Together. That's Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc in about 45 minutes. And if people are not going to be around because they're driving or they can't listen to the full show in one sit, remember that you can always go to our website, slmedia.org. And you can click on podcasts, and that's where you can listen to all our programs. You can also get the Salt and Light Hour wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, I don't know, yeah, you probably know this, Mark, but you can watch Salt and Light Television if you're in Canada, obviously on cable. But if you're outside of Canada, like in Los Angeles, you can go online, slmedia.org, and check out Salt and Light Plus to find out how to subscribe. So you can stream our network and watch all our programs on demand through Salt and Light, slmedia.org/plus, Salt and Light Plus. So lots of good information there, Mark. We're going to start with
a good
little song as we always do. Here is Found Together with Home from their album, Found Together.
From the distant coast to the mountaintop, from the depths of the sea, if you are there, it's home.
When the walls cave in and the ground gives out, when the earthquakes beneath, this home will be strong.
Oh, where else would I go to exalt another? It's to be restless. Makes me feel at home.
We're listening to Found Together with Home from their album Found Together. And we're going to be speaking with Found Together, who are Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc, at the end of the program. So I hope that you'll still be around for that. And now it's time for... Where God Helps, with Marie-Claude Lalonde from Aid to the Church in Need, Canada. Marie-Claude, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. So, Sudan, this is something that I don't think anybody knows what's happening in Sudan.
No, exactly, because the mass media never talk about Sudan.
No.
You know, we used to have one Sudan, and it was separated in two, and now we have Sudan and South Sudan. And I want to talk about Sudan, just to make things clear.
Yes.
There's a war going on for 1 year now between people who want to be in power. So it's the army and a, let's call them a rebel group, or it's the RSF, Rapid Support Forces.
Uh-huh.
And they're fighting for a year, but the fights are quite heavy and the toll on the people is unbelievable. Infrastructures are destructed. The main airport is not working anymore. Lack of electricity, reservoirs for clean waters are empty at the moment. So and people are hungry. It's terrible. And we had more than 13,000 dead and 6 million internally displaced and almost 2 million who went mainly to South Sudan. And we hear nothing about it.
Nothing. And where is the church in all of this?
Well, the church has always been a safe haven for people in Sudan. And that's a bit the same. People first went to the churches to get help. But with time passing, missionaries, religious communities were forced to leave the country. So some parishes, hospitals, schools are no longer functioning. And all the seminarians that were studying in the country have fled. So basically the church is reduced to a bare minimum. And maybe it's interesting to say that there are about 5% of Christians in Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
But now the situation being so difficult, we don't know exactly how many are still there. So that's the difficult thing about the church, but there's also positive aspects.
Okay.
And I would like to focus on that.
Yes,
it's nice
please.
To have sometimes good news. I yes. said that seminarians had to leave, but they are all now in South Sudan, where they're continuing their studies over there. So South Sudan took them. And maybe it's unusual, but when the Sudan split in two, they kept one single episcopal conference. And so it makes these exchanges much easier. And so the seminarians are still studying.
Mm-hmm.
Displaced people who went to South Sudan also are receiving help through different programs, but it includes the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the testimony of a project partner who said, you know, war cannot stop life. We had 16 baptisms and 34 adult confirmations this year.
Wow.
So for him, the church in itself is a sign of hope. And he added, we need to keep this hope in the current darkness we're going through.
Yeah.
And the Pope also is playing a role in trying to raise awareness and denounce what's going on, especially for the people. I mean, the church doesn't take sides. What they are on the side of the people.
Mm-hmm.
They want to help the people. And that's their main focus right now in Sudan and now South Sudan with the displaced people and the seminarians.
And the seminarians. Yeah, what a great story about the baptisms and confirmations. That is absolutely a sign of hope. Now, I know Aid to the Church in Need, you're not just providing support directly to the church, because you're doing a lot of other support through partners, But I guess, would you be doing special support to the churches in Sudan right now because they've been diminished so much?
Yes, we are determined to help the church stay wherever the church can stay. However, we will also be implicated, and we are currently implicated also in South Sudan because they are receiving displaced
Right, of
people.
course.
And so the needs are also great in South Sudan, but whatever the church needs, I just hope the information will get to us because sometimes in conflict zone, that's a part of the problem, but if the information comes to us, we'll do whatever we can to for the church to stay strong and to stay strong for its people. And that's the role of Aid to the Church in Need.
So I'm just curious because I think previously, maybe not with you, but I know we've heard about South Sudan and some problems that have been happening there. Are things
Yes.
better in South Sudan that they're able to take this influx of refugees and to support in any way?
Not easy.
No.
That's my main answer. It's not easy. South Sudan has its own problems, but it is stable enough to
Okay.
accommodate the refugees. But of course, they will lack means to support all these people,
Yes.
and that's where I think the church, the presence of the church, is very
Yes.
important. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, then I guess, as always, we need to pray and pray for Sudan and pray for the church in that region and pray for the work that you guys, Aid to the Church in Need, and other partners on the ground are doing and help financially, because I'm sure you need always in need of donations.
Of course, of course. We receive a lot of money in the head of some people. Oh,
Yes.
wow, it's great, but we can't cover the needs that are presented to us. The needs are always greater than the money we have.
Absolutely. So, and there's always people that can help. So I hope that our listeners can be of assistance there, but prayer is the most important thing always. So we're always reminding people
Very
to pray.
important.
Absolutely.
Yes, and our project partners always mention that they are praying for their benefactors. So anyone who helps through prayer or donations, well, just be aware you have some people in South Sudan,
That are
praying for you
praying for
too.
you.
Yes.
Absolutely. And what a nice thought. Maybe we can pray specifically for those people, children that were baptized or that were confirmed or received into the church in Sudan this Easter. What a beautiful and specific prayer that would be.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Marie-Claude, thank you for telling us about what's happening in this region, because we didn't know. And again, thank you for the work that you and your partners are doing.
Thank you.
Marie-Claude Lalonde is the National Director of Aid to the Church in Need Canada. You can find out more about Aid to the Church in Need Canada, acn-canada.org, and in the US, churchinneed.org.
Hi, I'm Danielle Savard, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
You can watch Salt and Light Television streaming and on demand on our website and also on your Roku and Amazon Fire app. Go to slmedia.org/plus to find out how to subscribe. And now it's time for What's Good in Hollywood. With our Hollywood undercover missionary, Mark Matthews, who is telling us what's good in Europe.
Yeah, that's, I know, what's going on here? I mean, come on, you hired me to do a job, and I'm not talking about Hollywood, I'm talking
I
about
don't know.
Europe.
Must be a good job. You just spent 5 weeks in Europe.
Well, so I just returned from a fantastic 5 week trip in Europe. Part of that was for work, but 3 weeks of it were for a vacation.
Nice.
And it was amazing. I got to spend the Triduum in Rome, the Stations of the Cross at the Colosseum, the Easter
Wow.
Vigil
Oh
inside
my
St. Peter's
gosh. Wow, good
Basilica.
for you.
That's like a once in a lifetime seat.
Yeah.
And then after that, I did a spiritual pilgrimage through France, hitting no less than seven different pilgrimage sites, including Lourdes, Lisieux, and the legendary retirement cave of
Oh.
Saint Mary Magdalene in Saint-Baume in France.
Yes, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. There's, you know, the history
Yeah,
is
that
dark,
Mary
but
Magdalene ended up in France. Go figure. Yeah.
yeah, I got to see the legendary
Cool.
cave.
Cool.
So there's so much to take in when you're doing a
Yeah.
trip like this. You know, you have the entire riches of Christendom just passing you by, and you literally have like 60 seconds to look at them sometimes. And so I did what any other sensible human being would do, and that is you take out your cell phone, you just take pictures of everything.
Of course.
And I'm not at a place in doing this because you go to any of these locations and you see nothing but thousands, if not millions, of cell phones being held up in the air by everybody taking pictures of things. And so it gets get me thinking, you know, as I like to joke, I'm like, well, don't just live life, you know, or don't live life, just document it, you know. And but why? Why do people, Deacon, why does everyone take pictures of everything?
I don't know, 'cause I guess they don't want to forget. They want to memorialize it. Yeah.
I kind of think so. I think, I mean, if I was asking myself, it's kind of like, well, I want to share this moment with,
Yeah, with others too.
you know, with other people. It's also a bit of I want to remember this moment myself. You know what I mean? I personally, like a joke, I'm a bit of a digital pack rat. I just keep a copy of everything on my hard drive. And I mean, if I'm going to be canonized someday, I mean, they're going to have something to work with, right? You know, so Deacon's like, you're not getting canonized just
No,
because of that
no, no.
comment. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
but it is a really kind of strange phenomenon, I think, that we're just incessantly, you know, want to take pictures of everything. And so I kind of, you can't help but ask, like, is there something deeper at play here? And I think it's, if we really kind of are honest with ourselves, it's something maybe more along the lines of, I want to be remembered. And maybe even my life is so fleeting. Let me try to eternalize myself in some way, shape, or form. And I think, you know, the finiteness of our existence is something that we dread so much. We can't often look at the reality of it straight in the eye. And so I think it's kind of the subconscious latent fear within us sometimes. And you know, we're sort of, perhaps I might suggest, we are subconsciously sort of trying to eternalize ourselves. But what I would ask is that if all that remains of us after our death is 100,000 JPEG images, that's kind of a sad ending.
Yeah, it
And I
is.
think what we should be saying, or we should be remembering to say, is, God, please remember me. And this is where our faith comes in. And I think it's kind of funny, you know, the Lord backs us up, so to speak, you know, to use techie speak. He literally saves us, and he saves us with much better resolution than 100,000 images. In fact, he remembers every little detail about our lives. And even when we are with him in heaven, he goes beyond that. He says, we shall be like him. In 1 John 3, it's like, wow, he brings us even into sort of a greater existence. And so I think my kind of takeaway, if I had a message for today, would be is, you know, we don't need to worry about documenting our whole life, you know, have faith in our salvation, that sometimes maybe not taking that photograph is kind of a way of saying, God, I'm going to trust you to remember this moment. Now, there's an interesting, perhaps, I think, kind of connection with religious art. And what I noticed is that when you're traveling Europe and you see all these most beautiful, most transcendent works of art, is that they embrace two things. So first of all, is a style of realism. And that is basically just what a photograph would see, what any camera could reproduce. But they also have a very strong, unrealistic, almost iconographic style that only an artist could create. And it's not that the artist didn't know how to do realistic photos. You can look at, you know, works of art from the same period, and it's like, oh yeah, they very clearly can do that. And that's a really interesting question to kind of address too. Well, why did they do that? Why is it not just perfect realism? And I think it's that this art, that the realism, they're representing both our present reality with the realism, but the metaphysical, spiritual aspect of our existence, of what lies beyond the veil of reality, with this sort of this iconographic aspect of it. And my favorite, my absolute favorite example of this was from the Basilica of the Holy Rosary at Lourdes. And they have a mosaic for every mystery of the rosary, 15 of them there. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful, realistic images of, they have an element of realism for what those moments look like. But you can also see, you know, the heavens in them, the halos. You can see the Holy Spirit and angels are all revealed. And they have this iconographic quality. And so those kinds of images acknowledge both essentially our real existence, but also the metaphysical spiritual existence. And so part of me is going, well, how do I get that camera? You know, how do I get that camera that adds the halo on me, or the lack of one?
What a beautiful reflection on that. And I presume that you took pictures of those mosaics just so that you can share them with me.
I did. Yes. I incessantly took pictures of every aspect of those mosaics.
But yeah, absolutely. I think that's what icons do, that icons are not so much the way we see the saints, but how God sees the saints. I've also heard that description. So how does God see us? That's the camera that I would like to have. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, they're beautiful too, because really it's just one image that captures everything. It's not 100,000 images.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all there. It's very clear, and it's alive, almost like it's looking at you.
Yes.
And every time you see it, you see something new or something
exactly
different.
It's one image that shows the whole moment, the whole act.
So. Yeah. Well, there you go. A lesson there, that's how we need to start looking at the world, not so much through the camera lens.
Yeah. Also, don't worry. God will save us.
God
if
will
we ask
save
him
us.
To.
Yes. Yes. Save us on an eternal hard drive.
Yeah, don't rely on spiritual capture mode in iOS, because it doesn't exist. I can assure you of that.
All right, you can develop that.
I'll work on it in my spare time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing this with us today, and I'm glad you had a good good time in Europe. And next time, bring me with you.
I'd love to. You can be my co-undercover agent.
I can do that. I'd be happy to do that. Okay. So, what's good in Europe? And everywhere else with Mark Matthews, our Hollywood undercover missionary. You can follow him at HU Missionary. Coming up in our second half hour, Forbidden Discussions. And we reconnect with Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc, aka Found Together. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. Healing the Culture has a very unique philosophical approach to pro-life education. You may remember their video series for children, Philo and Sophie. It teaches children to understand pro-life principles as they learn to seek the good of others above the good of self. And really, that's how we build a culture that values and protects all human persons, from conception to natural death. Their latest offering through their video resource platform, Respect Life University, is Forbidden Discussions, aimed at the Gen Z age group, which is about 16 to 26 year olds. To tell us more, I'm now joined by the president and CEO of Healing the Culture, Camille Pauly. Camille, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to see you.
Hi, Deacon Pedro. It's good to see you too. Thanks for having me back.
It's always exciting to hear what you guys are up to. And I want to hear about this new series, Forbidden Discussions, but tell us a little bit before that, a little bit about Respect Life University, because I don't think we've actually spoken about that on this show.
No, we haven't. Respect Life University is Healing the Culture's video, web-based video platform.
Okay.
For all of our free videos, and there's a ton of stuff up there. There's there's curriculum materials for high school kids. There's animated stuff for high school and college. We have a program called Philo and Sophie that you and I talked about before for littles.
Yes.
It's free, and it's like kind of like VeggieTale kind of stuff, where you're learning morality and virtue and goodness and pro-life, but it's kind of like Sesame Street, where it's fun and there's songs and puppets. So that's what Respect Life University does. It's a platform where parents, teachers, Kids, adults can get pro-life content in video format in all kinds of different lengths. Some are 60 seconds, some are
Okay.
feature length,
Okay,
some are.
yeah. Yeah, that was because I was going to ask that. So is it for anyone? So teachers can access it, but you don't have to be a teacher to access it.
No.
And it's available on your website, healingthecul-culture.org.
Right.
So then some one of the offerings is this new series called Forbidden Discussions. Tell us about that. What is it?
Yeah, it's kind of provocative. We want
Yes.
to make sure we're reaching every kind of audience. People who are already pro-life, people who think they're pro-life but not sure, and people who are not pro-life.
Okay.
So this series is aimed at Gen Z, and particularly within between maybe like the 17 and 24-year-old range,
Okay.
and kids who are not necessarily pro-life. In fact, mostly trying to reach kids who are not pro-life, not sure where they stand, maybe even pro-choice, but willing to listen. And so we studied this audience a lot to understand what are the issues that care the most about that makes them be pro-choice or makes them persuaded by pro-choice.
Okay.
How do they listen to arguments when they're listening to arguments of the on the other side of issues they care about? How do they listen? What makes them open their ears? And then in what way and what delivery do we, in what way do we articulate those issues that best resonates with them? And so we found that we need to be online on an online platform for these kids, and we needed to use a debate methodology that showed them how to debate. Because kids today, Gen Z, don't know how to debate. They don't even
Okay,
think
no, they
debate is
don't know how
legitimate.
to communicate. Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
And they don't know, not all Gen Zers, but the vast
I
majority,
know.
they don't even know, they don't believe that debate is legitimate. They're being taught that there's one side, here's what the side is. If people don't agree with this, they're evil, and you shut them out and block them out and cancel them. So what we did is we came up with a title, Forbidden Discussions, because if you have discussions about a pro-life online, you're canceled, right? So they're forbidden.
Right.
So that we would be provocative with these kids and they would find us online and start listening and watching to these debates. And we, in a way, kind of subtly, we teach them how to debate. So we have a
Interesting.
male and a female and they
Yeah.
switch sides. So in one of the episodes, the woman would be pro-life and the male is pro-choice. And in the other episode, they switch. She's pro-choice and he's pro-life. So that shows what it's intended to do is help these Gen Z kids understand if you really want to understand truth, you have to be willing to look at both sides and
Okay.
consider the arguments and give way where somebody has a good argument. And they do that. Sometimes
Interesting.
the pro-choice makes a good point and she has to give way to it. But then she comes around a different way. And so it's a way to really help lay out the pro-life arguments to kids who aren't taught to question anymore. And this time not taught to question because what they're being taught is error, and our opponents don't want them to hear the truth because it's very persuasive. So
So
we've
you,
been very successful.
yeah, it sounds like it. So you have two young hosts, you said a male and a female, and they argue or they debate.
Yes.
Tell us how they do it, and then tell us some of
Sure.
the topics that you've chosen to highlight.
So it's partly scripted,
Okay.
but they get a topic. And they see the topic when they arrive, and then they're told whether they're pro-life or pro-choice. And so they flip back and forth. And like I said, it's partly scripted because we wanted to make sure they covered the issues that we want them to,
Yes.
and the kind of we want them to say certain things and make certain arguments. But it's 3 minutes long, so it's kind of like a speed debate where they get out the best stuff. And the topics that we covered, interestingly, kids are still debating: is this a human being or not? And which is wonderful. It's
Yeah.
wonderful that they still care about whether or not this is a human being, because some of the studies are showing that kids don't even care anymore. That if it's a person, not a person, we don't care. We want to do what we want to do.
Right.
But a lot of Gen Zers do still care. So we covered that topic. Is it a human being? Is it a person? Does it have any moral worth and legal protectability? But we also covered issues for kids who don't care whether it's a human being or not. What's really making you happy? Is this really noble? Is abortion courageous? Is it leading you to a life of prosperity and goodness and happiness and truth and all the things that you seek? And it gets very high level, but in a way that modern kids can relate to. So we love this series. Forbidden Discussions has been on. We've launched it about a month, maybe a couple months ago.
Okay.
And we have tens of thousands of views and great comments from kids who are watching it who are not necessarily pro-life.
That's wonderful. So I'm how many, so you said they're 3 minutes long. How many are there?
There's five episodes right now
Okay.
that cover the biggest issues. And then by the end of this year, we'll put out another five episodes and we'll just keep putting them out every year as long as we seek feedback from the Gen Z kids who are watching it. What kind of topics do you want to hear? And then
Okay.
do more. And as long as we keep getting more questions from these kids, we'll keep putting them out.
Right. And so then right now, the only place where people can access these videos is on the websites through the Respect Life University, or are you
No,
putting them on social media or?
they can get them on YouTube too. If they
Okay.
if your listeners go to our YouTube channel, Healing the Culture on YouTube, they can find the or just type Forbidden Discussions
Yeah.
on YouTube, they'll get the whole series for free on YouTube. The benefit to going to our website, healingtheculture.org, is that you'll get all of our video
Exactly. They
links
get to
and you'll
see
get
everything
them,
else that's there.
you'll get them packaged the way you need them, and you get all of the extra materials too for free. So like the kids show comes with teacher tools and parent tools and games and activities and coloring pages and all that kind of fun
Yeah,
stuff that get
no,
it.
there's great stuff on this website and tons of wonderful resources. I'm always excited, as I said, about what you guys are doing. So what's next? Are you going to I mean, obviously you're going to continue with more of
Well,
these.
we will continue it. This, Deacon Pedro, this Gen Z is really important to us. These
Yeah.
kids are very confused. The studies are all showing that these Gen Z kids, more than any other generation, are more confused about sexuality, more confused about marriage, relationships, gender. They're even more confused about reality than any other kid since we've been studying kids' thoughts on issues like that, on moral issues. They don't even know, they're even starting to question reality. What is reality? Am
Yeah.
I, is a human being even a thing, right? Or can I define myself however I want to be? So now you have Gen Zers who are starting to say, well, I'm not a person, I'm not a human, I'm a thought, right? So now there's this whole movement towards I'm a thought in a head of some being, some other being, or I'm an animal, right? I'm a fluffy, I'm a
Yes.
furry, they call them furries sometimes. So there's this big confusion about who we are and what we are, and they're lost. They're very, very lost age. So our goal right now is really hitting that Gen Z group, but we'll move younger. We have Philo and Sophie. We've never targeted fourth, fifth, sixth graders.
Yeah,
So
there's
I can't,
the tweenagers,
but
yeah.
yes, the tweens. And I can't let your listeners know everything, but we have an awesome series we've been filming. We have our own film studio and we've been filming it. It's going to combine live actors and animation in a surreal world where they're working through moral issues and ethical dilemmas. And it's a lot of fun. It's aimed, like I said, at fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, and
Oh,
all of the
wonderful.
content builds pro-life, builds pro-life ethics and values in kids, but in ways that don't directly discuss abortion yet. Or
Right.
suicide. Yeah, we didn't want to,
Right.
kind
Right.
of violate their innocence. But I think parents are going to love it. It's highly useful for teachers in the classroom, and that'll be coming out at the end of this year.
Oh, wonderful. That's good. That age group is lacking not just in pro-life resources, but just Catholic in general media resources. So,
They're kind of the missing group.
yeah,
People
it
aim
is.
at the littles, they aim at the high school, college, but those fourth through sixth, seventh, eighth
Yeah.
grade get lost. Yeah.
Yeah, middle school. Anyway, so that's good. Okay, good news. Thank you. Always exciting to hear from you and to hear about the work you're doing as we go next week here in Canada towards the March for Life in Ottawa.
Yes.
So thank you for telling us about this today, Camille, and again for all the great work that you do.
You got it. Blessings on your march and on safety for everybody. And people can find everything at healingtheculture.org.
You can learn more about Healing the Culture, Respect Life University, and Forbidden Discussions at their website, healingtheculture.org. And to listen to this conversation again or the full program, go to slmedia.org. Here now is Found Together with Find Me from their album Found Together.
I waited till we almost said goodnight. This heavy weight I carried all my life, and I would never lie to you, but I couldn't give you the whole truth. Here it is, it's such a mess, I know. Tears and late hours, you give me your attention. You didn't walk the no. Shoulder me, follow me, you want this. Whisper to me, just let me love you more.
listening to Found Together with Find Me from their album Found Together. We first met husband and wife duo Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc in October 2021, and that's when we found out why they call themselves Found Together. Over the last couple of years, Jesse and Kathleen have been busy building their marriage and family, but also with a few new songs. They also are quite active online, with monthly live worship sessions on social media, and also monthly what they call Catholic Date Night. So, to tell us all about that, I am now joined by Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc. Welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour, you guys. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you too. Yeah, thanks for having
thanks
us.
So much and it was super fun. Yeah, it was super fun to see you in person in November at Renew.
That's right. Mm. That was fun.
See, Jesse,
it was a really
forgot.
Cool event. He's like, did I see? Yeah, did I go somewhere?
Is that who you were? You got out of the house.
My memory right now.
Yeah, you got out of the house. Yeah, it was it was a great event. So, and congratulations on baby number four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Born a couple months ago as we record. Yeah.
Yes,
he's good. We'll keep him.
You'll keep him. Okay, good, good. And yeah. he seems to be, at least for now, very musical.
Yes,
at least for now.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't
Until
have
maybe
any options.
He'll get irritated eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, I want to talk first about the music. Because we're going to be ending the show with a great song that you guys wrote called Permission. So I want to get a little bit of the story of that. But I understand that you're also hoping to have a new EP. So I'm just curious to know if you are constantly, I mean, I know that you just had a baby and you guys are busy with other important things, but are you constantly writing or how is that process for you?
Ever since since our first album and started singing together under the name Found Together, mm-hmm. our plan and our process is setting aside Tuesday nights for music. So since we've launched this new crowdfunding for this new worship EP, Tuesday nights are again our music night to either write or just like to pray about writing or just talk about it together, how that process is going. So that's what it's like for us, because unless it's on the calendar, things like that don't happen. We're both, neither of us really are the kind of people that are like, oh, I'm so inspired, I have to sit down and write. Like, that's just not.
No, it's not your
thing.
The
gift
that
God has given us in
that
way. It's like,
time.
Yeah, we need to like, sit down and make
time. How's it going? Are you just talking about it or is it? It's lots of great prayer.
We've got a lot of audio recordings that some of them are really going somewhere.
Like little voice memos.
Yeah, voice memos and that kind of thing. And so for me, a lot of the time I'll write in the car as well. And so on my way to work or on my way back, you know, just kind of running through a few like ideas and then bring them to Tuesday night.
And okay. Say, hey, sounds good. So you're crowdfunding. So people through your website can get access to learn about that if they want to support you. Tell me about Permission.
Well, that was a song that was commissioned by...
Here comes James.
Oh, here comes our baby. He's coming to join this call. And
hello,
this
Does
is James. You'd
cute?
Like to see... Oh, okay.
Okay, there's James.
Permission was commissioned by Kathleen's father, actually. He mm-hmm. was doing a documentary.
Is doing a documentary.
Mm-hmm. It has yet to be released on the late Father Bob.
Bedard,
who is the founder of Companions of the Cross mm-hmm. in Ottawa. And his whole, I guess you could say his slogan was give God permission. He's a very, very holy priest.
Yes.
And so, he gave us some ideas and some things that he wanted us to include in the song. And we set out to write it. And so it was a fun process.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And there was a fun music video as well that we were able to record a music video of kind of like us with a bunch of other young adults in adoration, basically, with the monstrance and this priest and incense. It was a really beautiful video.
In his parish.
In Father Bob's previous parish, yeah.
Yeah, if our listeners do not know about Father Bob Bedard or of the Companions of the Cross, maybe we're just putting a little, you know, seed in your heart here. Check him out. The man absolutely will one day be canonized. And I'm really excited, looking forward to that film. So we just plugged in the film that I think is titled also Permission, or that's the working title.
Yes.
And the song, we'll get to hear the song at the end of the program today. So super excited about that. And we'll post the video as well on our website so people can watch it.
Tell me about the monthly worship nights. So you have Tuesday nights set aside for writing, and then you have one night a month to do worship. So how can people join into that?
Yeah, so we do that from Facebook or Instagram Live. So at We Are Found Together is both those handles. We started doing live worship nights
Before it
actually
was cool.
before it was cool online.
Oh, okay.
It was like right before COVID started. We were like, so we're in this season right now, as you said, that we've got kids. It's not as easy for us to leave the house and like do in-person events. And so we were like, how do we minister to people? How do we use our gifts of music, but we can be at home? So we were like, can we do this online? Like have people just listen in? Like it's not the same as being in person, but we could do it, you know? So we started doing them just before COVID hit. I think it was January of that year. And then we continued them through COVID. We took a break for a while. I don't remember when we stopped and when we stopped, but when we wanted to crowdfund and create some hype around that and let people know what we're doing, what we sound like, and pray with people, we were like, let's do our live worship nights again. And so we do that once a month. And yeah, like people are able to tune in. We just play about four songs. Like it's not a long thing, but it's just people in their comfort of their home. Like someone messaged me yesterday. We had a live worship night last night, and she messaged us this morning saying, I was so glad that I tuned in while I was like cleaning up the kitchen after supper and prayed with you.
Oh,
And
wonderful.
yeah, so people can just tune in from wherever. And it's nice for us to be able to still offer that music ministry just from home while our kids are sleeping
Absolutely.
upstairs.
And what a grace, I guess, the Holy Spirit calling you to start that even before it was necessary during COVID. So it's once a month. Is it always on a Tuesday night?
It's not always on a
Oh,
Tuesday
okay. So
night. It's
it's
often,
okay, but
you know
it's
what? It would be nice if we had a regular month, but you know, with kids and whatever's going on, we just
so
so if
you
people
just
want to know when
post,
it
yeah.
is, it's usually later in the month. Yeah. So just yeah, follow us or you can join our email list from our Instagram or from our website, and we do
Okay.
send out the details of when it is, because not it's nice to change the date for to change it for when people
Yeah,
are
for
available,
people
because
who are
not,
not
you
available
know.
on a Tuesday night. Okay, and so
Yeah.
does the Catholic date night is the same idea?
So the Catholic date night is a bit different. So what we do is we record a date night. It's really geared towards busy couples like ourselves. We interview another couple. I'm really stumbling right now.
It's okay. So it's a
I'm
membership for Catholic married couples or
not good at
engaged couples.
words.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And so we send out a date night episode, we call it, every single month. And we host, basically, as you press play, we host the couples through a game, like an activity to get them laughing and talking. And then we have a pre-recorded interview with another married couple. And
Okay.
we talk to them about their marriage journey and like what highs and lows, maybe a specific season of their marriage. And then we give the couples who are watching a chance to discuss what they heard in the interview. We give discussion questions, and then it ends with a time of prayer. So we give the couples basically like a format of how to pray together.
Okay.
So we started this for couples like ourselves who were, you know, wanting to have more quality time together, but like life is so busy and like who has time to plan a date night? It's at home, so you don't have to go anywhere to have this date night because getting babysitters is hard. And then also to be able to challenge yourselves to actually grow in your faith and what it means to be have the married vocation. Because there's, you know, not a lot of resources out there for couples who aren't like on the brink of divorce. Like there's a lot of great resources for couples who are really struggling, which is awesome. But we knew that there was a gap in terms of supporting couples who, you know, maybe they're just married in their first, you know, few years of marriage who want to have a strong foundation and keep that strong foundation of communication and faith and prayer, but like don't know how to do it together. So we love our couples who are joining us because they just really are intentional about their marriage vocation. Like marriage is, it takes that intentionality, right? To have fun together, to communicate, to learn
Right.
about your faith. And so yeah, that's what we do with the Catholic date night.
Okay, so a couple questions. So people, it's subscription based. People subscribe to join to have
That's
access
right.
to these videos. The videos are pre-recorded, so it's not live, so they can do it whenever they want.
Right.
Do they have to be married?
Yeah. Well, so they're engaged or married couples. I mean,
Okay,
I
so
guess you could
that's
sign up unknowingly, be single, but We gear towards couples.
Couples that are just engaged. No, I'm just wondering if someone that's dating, you know, if this would be useful for them. But the topics are very more specific to couples that are married.
That's right. Yeah, okay. That's right. There's a whole range of topics. Like we've talked about NFP, for example. Mm-hmm. We've talked about what do you do when you're married to somebody who's your personality opposite. We've had topics on sex itself. So there's it's a whole range of things, from like fun to serious. And
budget
a whole range
was our latest.
Yeah, we had one on Jonathan and Amanda Texera who do Wallet Win. We had them on and they talked about their Catholic money budgeting resources. And so different.
Okay,
different
interesting.
Topics.
Okay, sounds great. So people again can find about that at your website, foundtogether.com.
They can, yeah.
Okay, super.
We are foundtogether.com.
Yeah. Sorry, did I say the wrong website?
It's all right.
We are foundtogether.com. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I'm really excited. It's always nice to see you guys and to have you on the show. So I'm looking forward to the new album so that you can start writing some music and start recording so we can get to play it on the show.
That'd be awesome.
Us too.
Thanks, Deacon Pedro.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks,
God bless. Pedro. Take care. And thank you to James for participating.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
You too.
You too.
You can find Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc and learn all about what they do at their website, wearefoundtogether.com. And to listen to our conversation again or to the full program, go to our website, slmedia.org. Here now to take us out is Found Together with Permission.
You're moving in closer. I'm ready to give all to you. All to you. The more that I give you, the more that I want to. Your way makes me whole. As your plan unfolds, I give you permission. I give you permission. You're moving in closer. To give all to you, all to you. The more that I give you, the more that I want to. Your way makes me whole. As your plan unfolds, I give you permission. Yeah, I give you permission.
Listening to Found Together with Permission, and that will take us to the end of our program today. To listen to the full program, go to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. That's also where we post links to all our guests and resources. Check them out and support their ministries. You can also subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour Catholic Podcast on your podcast app of choice. If you like the program, be sure to give us lots of stars and likes and a good review so that other people can find the show. This week, let's pray for the people and the church in Sudan. Let's pray especially for those who were baptized and received into the church this year in Sudan. Let's also pray for Gen Zers who struggle to make their way in the world and make sense of the world. Let's pray for the March for Life in Ottawa, for the unborn, the elderly, those with disabilities, the sick, those with mental illness, and for our politicians. But more importantly, pray for each other and take care of each other. Remember, God never forgets you. Thank you for listening. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.